Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Amen indeed. What a prayer that is. And now I think I am a bit inclined to lose track of what comes next. Yes, we have Dave coming up to speak to us from a passage. I know he has several favourite passages in the Bible, but he's chosen to speak to this one because he hasn't mentioned it recently in church. And so he has. It's something that I think has been with him for quite a long time, and it's going to be fascinating to hear what he has to say. So Dave, can I invite you to come up? Are you waiting for me to finish? You can check that it's working then. As he comes up, Father, pray for Dave. Thank you for his place in this church. Thank you for all the things that he's brought. It's too much thanks for me to express. And I know that he walks and prays with you daily. And I pray now that some of what he has learned and that you've grown in him will seed itself into us so that we too can bear some of that fruit that he's known. And pray that you'll bless him as he speaks and with the time afterwards as he reflects on what he's learned. Amen.
Thank you. We do a sound check. Ah, phew, Phil has appeared on the sound. All will be well. So to start with a little bit of a warning for you. So I met Angela for coffee some time ago, and now I find myself here. So I'm just thinking, if you've been invited for coffee, and there's a few knowing nods, and then there's some people who've got that sudden realization that they've got a coffee coming up. Anyway, fear not, because if you listen carefully, there may be a bit of a get-out clause for you. So, see, I've guaranteed that at least someone will be listening to the rest of this talk. I think the brief is that I'm supposed to talk about a favorite Bible verse and what it means to me and how I came across it and that sort of thing. So it's not just about a Bible verse. It's really about the setting and so on and so forth. And when Angela asked me to speak in that coffee shop, she thought that maybe I would speak on Ephesians 3 because that tends to be my go-to place. But that's quite long, so we won't be covering Ephesians 3 in any detail, but we might touch on it at some point. But when she asked me, my thoughts actually turned to Romans 12:2, which I believe is behind me because I can see it down there. And actually, it's only a part of Romans 12:2, and I guess to put it in context, the reason that I came across it I've come across it many times over the years, but it really hit me during one of the 24/7 prayer weeks that we did. For those of you not familiar, occasionally the Alma basement is transformed, got the word in there, into a prayer room for a week, and the idea being that we pray for 24 hours a day for a week, and we've had some success in that, and sometimes not being quite the 24, but we've got fairly close. But anyway, on this particular occasion, I think it was the second one that we did, and I walked into the prayer room, and for those of you familiar, there's a coffee, there's various stations and all the rest of it, and I walked in, and the first thing I did was take my shoes off. I felt that I needed to take my shoes off my feet, and that sort of stuck with me. Anyway, I went about what you usually do in the prayer room, which is prayer and some readings and all the rest of it. And then there came a point when I went to the back of the prayer room, and there was I'll call it a tent, but it was meant to be an inner room for prayer. And in that inner room was a cross, I believe, and I think there were certainly some cards, prayer cards, set out, I think, in a bowl or what have you. Anyway, one card had been left out, presumably by the person before me, or maybe the one before that, who knows. But the card that was left out had this Romans 12:2 verse on it, or just a part of it. And it was headed, "He can even change our thinking." And then it had the part of the verse which says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And it was that thought that got to me, really, that he can even change our minds, regardless of how we're feeling, the circumstances that we're in, that he can change our thinking. And that was the main thing that stuck with me that evening as I went into that prayer room. And I find comfort in the fact that our minds can be transformed. The way that we view things can be transformed. We don't have to be stuck with them. I've often reflected on those words, and I think there's huge freedom in knowing that whatever our position is, however we're seeing something at the moment, that might not always be the way that we see it. One day, we may see it as God sees it. Now, this isn't a quick fix for us, in that just because we know that God might see things differently, it doesn't help us always in that moment. But it does, I think, allow us to hold our thoughts lightly in our opinions about events or people or the rest of it. And it gives us the expectation that one day we will see things differently. But that's about the verse. That's my take on the verse, what it meant to me. But what about the actual setting and why do I remember it? Well, the setting was the prayer room. And that takes me to thinking about the body of Christ. And you might think, well, that's a strange link to make. It is a link that I made. And it sort of takes me to those who created that prayer room on that occasion. And I'm guessing that Liz Ogborne had quite a lot to do with it. She normally did on the 24/7 prayer. And it takes me to that place of valuing the people in the body of Christ, because those people who put that room together, that I was able to experience that time of prayer, they have a different view of things. They go about things differently than me. They have different imagination, the dedication that went into creating that room. And so every time I sort of think of that, I think of those people and of the body of Christ. And I guess you've all experienced that moment of hearing a piece of music and being transported back to a particular place, to the people who are there, the smells that were there. A piece of music sort of gives you that, it just transports you to a place that you were at one point. And there's a particular worship song which I only need to hear the first two notes, and we might hear them later, unless Helen gets them wrong. Sure, that won't happen. And when I hear those two notes, it transports me back to sitting here on the 7th of January 2018 and hearing a talk from Stuart North and what he said that day about, he had just posed the question, what are we doing about modern day slavery? And a lot came out of that meeting, and I always relate that meeting to every time I hear that song, and just even the first two notes that we start with. So, you know, you can picture the scene from just hearing music. And I think it's similar with verses that we pick up sometimes, like the Romans 12 ones for me. And just listening to Sophie last week, she mentioned her experience of reading Psalm 119 by torchlight. And I imagine that every time that she reads or hears anything from Psalm 119 from that time, she will relate it back to that time of reading it by torchlight. Anyway, as I was going about this, thinking about this talk, I was wandering around, and as some of you know, I tend to wander quite a lot on the golf course. I'm either hitting golf balls or I'm walking the dog. And I was thinking, meditating on the theme of transformation, and it just happened to be during this very dry spell that we'd had, really, really hot. And the golf course, you can think of any other open space that you care to walk in recently, was sort of devastated, if you like, but by the heat. In fact, the grass was crumbling underfoot, and it was all quite difficult and bone dry and all the rest of it. And then there came, if you recall, a downpour, an absolute deluge of rain. And the course, the other open spaces that you might have in your mind, was absolutely transformed. A sudden transformation took place from all this rain. And it was damp underfoot, it was soft, and you could just feel the transformation. But also, there was a gradual transformation that took place over the next few weeks, almost imperceptible as you couldn't really experience it as it was going along, but when you looked back after a week, the whole place was green again, so you could see the impact of the transformation. And as I was wandering around the golf course with these thoughts, I had a very strange phrase that sprung to mind, something that from about 25, 30 years ago that was spoken in a deacon's meeting at the time, for those of you who are sort of familiar with elders, deacons in a church. And if English is not your first language, this is not a phrase that you want to repeat. The phrase was, let elders eld and deacons deek. Now, for those of you who are very familiar with the English language, you probably reckon that there's no elding and deeking verbs, but still, you might get the sentiment. So I thought, well, is this relevant to this talk? But it wouldn't go away. Let elders eld and deacons deek. And so last Sunday, I decided it was about time I got these verses in Romans in context, just in case. Always a good idea to get the verses that you're speaking of in context. And I read on. So if we look at Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. But then when we get to verse 4, I was quite pleased to find this, given my elders elding thing. It says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so when I read that, I felt that the whole thing was a perfect fit. We're looking at the body of Christ, which is where I started, and we're recognizing the different gifts. So maybe there is something in the letting elders eld and deacons deek. And Paul expands on the theme of spiritual gifts and the unity and diversity of the body in 1 Corinthians 12. You might be pleased to know that we don't have time to go into that today because it's quite long. But I thought, one of the thoughts I had about these gifts is we can sometimes recognize gifts in others, but then believe that that's where they will stay. Those are their gifts, that's what their role is in the church. And almost that's fixed. But this is about transformation. So it can't be that those things are fixed in people. We're still dealing with that theme. And we should hope and expect that we will receive other gifts. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul encourages us to desire gifts. So, just like the deluge of rain and the other grassy areas in the golf course, we can see that immediate transformation. And we can also see a more gradual one. And my thoughts are that sometimes with the immediate transformation, we wonder whether it's genuine and whether it will last. And sometimes with the gradual transformation, we hardly recognize it either in ourselves or in others because we've put them into particular roles and so on and so forth. And I wonder whether for someone, it might be that you've not recognized the change that has taken place in you. Or maybe we have not recognized the change that has taken place. So, we're heading towards the end. How can we be transformed? And thinking about it, it took me back to Ephesians 3, which is helpful, and I believe Jonathan's got it. Paul says, I kneel before the Father, and I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I think that is where the transformation takes place. It's about the church praying for one another. So we started in the prayer room, and I'll finish in the prayer room. I'm told that there's an activity that might take place on the theme of being transformed. And back to the body thing, this is not this part of the body that devised this activity. I think that part of the body devised the activity. And one more thought, last week as I sat there with the activity, it was pointed out to me by our German friend who was just visiting for the day. She said, I will really enjoy this activity. This is my sort of thing. It was tea lights and a verse, you may recall it. She said, David, you will not enjoy this activity. And listen out for the two notes.
Thank you.